Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We'll be in Luke chapter 11, finishing the chapter today. We're going a big chunk from verse 33 all the way to the end. So if you want to turn your Bibles or turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, we'll be there. So let's pray. God, we come to you, blessing your name. We praise you for who you are. Lord, we pray that you speak to us this morning, that we would get a message from you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Preaching from Luke and the other Gospels directly from the words of Jesus can be very tricky sometimes. Because you see, the themes, the ideas that Jesus speaks about goes quickly. He switches from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. And you would think, wow, Jesus, how can you do that? Your mind is so moving so fast from one idea to the next, and I can't follow. Well, we have that this morning. We have that today. So hopefully, I'll be able to make sense of what Jesus is talking to us about today. So, verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, for example, who here would take a candle and light it up and then put it way over here on the floor where you can't see it? But we are supposed to let our light shine. Or who takes this lamp and puts it under a basket or snuffs it out? It's not doing its purpose. It's not letting its light shine to the people. Nope, this is not useful at this moment. I mean, it smells nice. It might give a pleasant aroma, but it is not giving light to the people. It is sitting here, not doing anything. But instead, put it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in the darkness, it will be full of light as when a lamp gives light with its rays. Jesus is talking here to a group of people about light, what is inside of us. I have to tell you the truth that when I was preparing this sermon, I had a feeling of tremendous unworthiness. Who am I to be able to get up in front of a group of people and speak about the Word of God? Who am I to look out and say, this is what it says? Because I'm nobody. Sometimes I really have a feeling that the light inside me might be a little dark. So when I prepared this sermon, I was like, I can't do this. I'm too dark in myself. But God reassured me. So let's get to the meat of what's going on here. So Jesus is talking to a group of people about light. And in this group of people are Pharisees and lawyers and teachers and scribes, religious people, people who are experts. And one of them, in verse 37, one of them says to Jesus, "Hey, come, I want to have a lunch. You want to come over and have a meal with me?" The Pharisees wanted to speak to Jesus. This was common in this day and age that the religious leaders, if a new teacher came out who was teaching something radical or something new, the Pharisees wanted to test them. And so they invited them for dinner. And Jesus, of course, Jesus said, "Yes, let's do this. I'll come over to your house." Jesus is more than willing to meet people, all people, in every walk of life. He was not afraid to go meet with the Pharisees. He was also not afraid to heal the leper or the sick. So Jesus goes to this house of this Pharisee. And what does he do? It says he went in and took his place at the table. Whoa, 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 Jesus, too much. The Pharisees say, the Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Jesus immediately offends the Pharisee. Immediately he walks in and does something wrong according to the mind of the Pharisee. Immediately, Jesus is pushing and pushing. The first thing he does. And so, the Pharisees are upset. They mumble, they grumble. Their hearts are, "Oh, I can't believe Jesus did this." Then Jesus gives them very harsh criticism. He says, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." Wow. You know, I dress up pretty nice, don't you think?
Yeah.
Sometimes. I like wearing a tie sometimes and, you know, nice pants. And so I present myself nice. I clean up the outside. Does this outside appearance have anything to do with my heart? Is it anything to do with what is clean on the inside? Or maybe in my case, what's dirty on the inside? This verse right here scares me. Because Jesus knows their heart. So therefore, Jesus knows my heart. He knows the dirtiness that is in my life. He knows what I think about. He knows what my desires are. He knows my secrets. That's scary. That's terrifying to me. That Jesus knows what I think. But enough about that. Let's get back to the Pharisees here. So the Pharisees, their bodies are full of darkness. They don't have the light. They are the lamp that is hidden or snuffed out or under the basket. That's the Pharisees here. It was not placed on the lampstand. It was hidden. Jesus rebukes them for not understanding that God created both the inside and the outside. God created all of it. And if they do not give from their inside, then they are dark. Jesus cares about our hearts. Jesus cares about what's on the inside. Jesus cares about the light that is coming from within us. That's important for us to understand this morning. It's important for us to know that Jesus cares about what's inside of us. You fools, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give for alms those things that are within, and see, everything will be clean for you. He's criticizing the Pharisees because they give outside. They give to be seen. So people understand. And the next part here, Jesus gets very in depth in criticizing. Verse 42. But woe to you. What's woe? Woe to you. Something is coming. The word woe is defined as great sorrow and distress. So basically what Jesus is saying is great sorrow to you Pharisees. Now this is not like an ultimatum that Jesus is giving. Do this and this will happen. Or if you don't do this, this will happen. Last week we heard a little bit about the story of Jonah. And Jonah went to Nineveh and says, repent or you will destroy it. There's an or there. This will happen if you do this or don't do this. There's a cause and effect. But here, Jesus is, there's no or. There's no do this and this will happen. Instead, it's strictly a woe, an announcement of great sorrow. Woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds and neglect justice and love of God. For those of you who don't know, mint and rue are garden herbs that have very little value. So he's critiquing them because they are so set in the law and the rules that they go out to their garden and pluck a tenth of the leaves off the little bushes and they give that. But yet, it says they neglect justice and love for God. They're caught up in the law and they don't understand the greatest commandment. To love God and love their neighbor. Woe to us! Because we too focus on little things. We make them stumbling blocks while we neglect those in need around us. If you didn't notice, if you're reading the screen here, this version that's on the screen is different than what I read. Is that a problem? Is that something that is causing us to break fellowship with each other? Oh, no, that's the wrong version. I don't read that version. To realize that this is not the original here. This is an English translation of a copy of a copy of a copy of the original text. So when we get so focused on the translation, on what it says. We focus on these little things and we stop listening to God. We don't hear the voice anymore because we're so focused on these tiny things that are stumbling blocks that we place. So a question. Are we filled with light or darkness. Woe to the Pharisees, for you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. The Pharisees sought honor because of their religious status. I am a religious scholar. Honor me. That's what they want. That's what they say. My understanding of God is better than the common person. They wanted to be noticed by the people for their holiness and their devoutness and their piety. They found value in what others thought of them. They wanted everyone to know who they were. I am a Pharisee. Know me. That's what they wanted. Woe to us, for we too seek honor and prestige. Sometimes we see ourselves better than our neighbors. We go out from here and we say, oh, we are better. I've done it. I've said it. I've said, oh, I am better because of this, because of my religious status. Again, who am I to be up here preaching and teaching because I am nothing? But some people might, oh, Jeff, honored Brother Jeff speaking a good word this morning. Well, I appreciate that, but I am no better. I am not to be honored because of my status. I don't want that. We should not seek that. I am a broken man. I'm broken in front of God. But yet, too often we seek that honor. Too often we see ourselves superior because of what we think, what we believe. Too often we put ourselves above other people because of what we think about, what we value in our lives. Are we filled with light or darkness? Woe to you, Pharisees, for you are like unmarked graves that people walk over them without realizing it. Back then, in this time, people marked the graves. They painted them white, whitewashed them, so you wouldn't walk over them on accident and be contaminated by the dead body. And so you could see, oh, there's a grave there. I gotta walk around. Go this way, go that way. And so what it's saying here is that the Pharisees are the unmarked graves. They are dead, and nobody knows it. They don't even know it. They are the dead bodies that the people are touching every day and are contaminated, made unclean. They are the cause of the sickness in the lives of the people in this time. Wow, whoa. That's harsh. The Pharisees, you are the sickness. That's what Jesus is saying right here. That you are dead. And they are distracting people. They are making people unclean in the presence of God. Wow. Woe to us, for we too distract the people from God. We fight with each other over scripture, over doctrine, over worship style. We fight about these things. and we distract people from God. We split, and we split, and we split until we are unrecognizable to each other. We cannot see Christ in each other anymore because we are so far apart. Woe to us because we distract the people from God with our behavior, with our understanding, with our thoughts, with our things that we covet and hold tightly to. We do this. We seek out what separates us, but not what unites us. Well, I tell you, I have something that can unite us. I have an idea. That something that can unite all of humanity. You want to know what it is? We are created by God. All of us. And Jesus loves us. All of us. We should seek what unites us, not what divides us. Are we filled with light or darkness? Then one of the lawyers, verse 45, says, "Whoa, Jesus, that teacher, that's insulting to me, too. You know, what you say is insulting to me. That hurts my feelings." What does Jesus say? He says, "Okay, woe to you, lawyers. Don't think you're getting out of this either. Woe also to you, lawyers, for you load people up with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not lift a finger to ease it." The lawyers are bringing burdens. And this time, in the first century, Jesus was talking to a community that was so overladen with rules and laws. They keep making new things to do. Oh, it says keep the Sabbath holy, but this is how. You can't do this. You can't do that. You have to do this. Honor your father and mother, but this is how. You can't do this. You can't do that. You have to do this. These are burdens that these lawyers continue to pile onto the people. And yet, they themselves do nothing to help. They do not lift a finger to help the people around them in need. Woe to us, for we too put burdens on the people. We, as a global church, we require people to step out of their comfort zones to come to us. We are making them, the people outside the church, they are the missionaries. Because they have to change and go away from their homes to come to us. That's what we do. That's what we do at church. We make them change who they are to come be a part of us. We are not reaching out. We are not going to them. We require neighbors to change before they can fellowship. It's not my job to require change. Where does it say in here, in the Great Commission, Jesus tells people, if you build it, they will come? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say to make a fortress or a place or not even a physical place, but an idea, and have people come to us. But we have what people need. They should come to us, like in a store. You know, we have the grocery store, you know, come get what you need from us. No. Jesus says, go. Where? He says, go everywhere. Go from where you are to somewhere else. Go from your comfort zone, your family, your friends, your comfort area, and go somewhere else. Now, some of us have done that. Some of us, throughout history, the church, that they do that. They go out, they go out, they go out. But too often, we stay in. And we wonder why nobody's knocking on our door. Because we're on the wrong side of the door. We need to be outside. Are we filled with light or darkness? Woe to you, lawyers, for you have killed the messengers of God. They have killed the prophets. They've killed those who had a word from God. Woe to us too, because we neglect the voice of truth in our lives. God is not silent. God is speaking, yet we do not hear it. We ignore it. Are we paying attention? Do we hear what God is saying to us? Are we filled with light or darkness? Jesus then places responsibility on the Pharisees and lawyers. They stand before God with blood on their hands. The blood of those before them. That's on that generation. Woe to the lawyers, for they hide knowledge and they keep people from gaining that knowledge. And also, they don't seek that knowledge. They're totally against knowledge. Do we seek knowledge? Woe to us when we run away from knowledge. Before I went to university, I had a gentleman in my church come up to me, great guy, old guy, say, don't learn too much in that university. Don't let them change you too much. Why are we scared of learning? Why are we scared of knowledge? Now the Pharisees and the lawyers, the Pharisees, they showed that their light was darkened by their focus on their outside piety and their devotion on the outside, what was visible to the people. The lawyers, they showed that their light was darkened by the burdens of the law that they placed on the people. They were darkened. Now, are we filled with light or darkness? Am I filled with light or darkness? So no one will light a lamp and put it in a cellar or on a bush, under a basket. But instead, put it on the lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. Let this be the light for us today. The light of Jesus shining in us. Let our light shine. Let us pray. God, we come to you asking a question. Are we filled with light or filled with darkness? Lord, we ask that it be light. Let your light shine in our lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song before communion. It's a song that we introduced last week, leading us to the cross. It's a very appropriate song as we come before the cross.